So if you have your scriptures with you, we'll turn to Luke. We're in Luke chapter 16 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 18. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you or near you, it's page 875, Luke 16. Let me pray as you're turning there. Father, Lord, we thank you for the time to worship. Lord, we thank you that through Christ, our worship is brought to you in a sweet and pleasing smelling aroma that you accept, not because of us, but because of Christ and his righteousness and his blood shed for us. And we give you praise for that. Lord, we thank you that for this time to sing, to pray, and to give you our hearts. And now, Lord, we want to look into your word. And Lord, as you know, my prayer is, as I preach to myself when we go through these texts, that you would teach us, that you would give us receptive ears and hearts, that we would be convicted, that we would be changed, that we would be renewed in the greatness and the graciousness of Christ as we seek to follow you. And so, Lord, we give you praise that you're building your church and no one or nothing will stop it. And so, Lord, we pray you continue to touch each heart here and listening online this morning. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So today we go from some of Jesus' most memorable and relatable teachings from a few weeks ago. If you remember, we covered the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We come to a story this morning that at first reading is going to be a head-scratcher. It's one of those first texts that when you first glance at it as a preacher, especially a preacher like me, you want to skip over it because there's some seeming difficulties within it. For as you read the text, it will seem like Jesus is telling us to live in a way that's contrary from what we know of the rest of the scriptures. It's a parable about an unjust steward and his shrewdness in life and how he watches out for himself and his future, no matter the means that he uses, no matter even how unjust the means. So my hope as we go through the text is that we will see that Jesus is not telling us to live in unjust ways, but to consider the energy, the effort, and the focused determination that some people of this world have in watching out for themselves and their interests, and to challenge our energy and our focus and our determination when it comes to following Jesus. Jesus this morning is challenging our motives, our energy, our focus while preparing for our eternal futures. He's asking us, who are we really serving in life? And are we preparing for eternity? Who are we serving in our day-to-day actions and decisions? If you recall, this teaching is a continuation of the dialogue Jesus has been having with the Pharisees, with the scribes, and he's focusing on the disciples now, and there's some tax collectors and sinners drawing near and eating with Jesus as they're hearing these things, and Jesus is challenging them, he's challenging us about our energy, our effort, and our focus, determination as we live as followers of Christ. So we're asking, who are we serving in life? Who's guiding our everyday decisions? Are we just living for ourselves? Are we just living for today? Are we just living for our dreams and ambitions? Or are we considering what Jesus would have us to do with today and our future and what it means to follow him? So our main question, if you have the sermon notes, is how can we tell if we're serving Christ or something else? How do we know? And a lot of times we have to ask, how can we tell if we're serving Christ or we're just serving ourselves? At times we're our own worst enemies. There's many ways to answer that question, but we'll just consider three from our text this morning. So if you have your scriptures open, we'll begin at chapter 16, verse 1, as we walk through this morning. Jesus said to his disciples, "There's a rich man who had a manager. And charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Turn in the account of your management, for you can no longer be manager." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do, so that when I'm removed from management, people may receive me into their houses." So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings." And we'll pause there for now and ask this question. How can you tell if you're serving Christ or something else? And the first thought I want us to consider is that you consider life beyond today. You consider life beyond yourself. You're to consider your actions and how they will impact your future. You're to consider your decisions and whether they would be pleasing to the Lord and their kingdom focus. Jesus tells this very intriguing story. A rich man had a manager who wasted his possessions. And he basically said to the man, "You're done, you're through, you're fired. Clean out your desk and hand in your badge." And so this thief of a manager says to himself, What am I going to do? I need money, I need food, I need a place to live." And he said, "I'm not strong enough to dig." Meaning he can't do any manual labor. He's been in this office job for too long, and he's too weak to dig. He also said, I'm too ashamed to ask for help. I'm too ashamed to beg. So he comes up with this plan. He says, "I'll know what I'll do. I'll summon two of the debtors of the rich man and his former boss and cut some of their debt out." So he said to the first one, who owed 100 measures of oil, "Cut it by half." And to the other, who had owed 100 measures of grain, "Cut it by 20%. Now some commentators defer onto the integrity of this man's actions. Was he simply removing his interest that he would have taken and his former boss would receive the principal? Or is it like most commentators think, is the point of the parable is what this man was doing was wrong, but it's clever because he's making friends to call favors upon, looking out for himself and looking out for his future? Just think how the people who owed the money would have responded to the man who simply cut their debt by half and to the other guy 20%. They'd be forever grateful to this man and help him in return for his generosity. That's why in verse 8 it says, the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. "For the sons of the world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light." Basically, people of this world consider beyond the day. They think of the future down the road. And some of us who are followers of Christ are not even thinking that way. We're not even thinking about the next day or beyond ourselves. T.W. Mason, he says, there's legitimate difference morally saying, "I applaud the clever steward because he acted honestly." That's not what is being said here. He's saying, "I applaud the dishonest steward because he acted cleverly." And Jesus making a comparison between the way the manager prepared for the loss of his job and the way you and me who claim to be followers of Christ prepare for eternity to live beyond today. When you're focused on serving Christ, you live with an eye focused on glory that impacts what you do today and what you do with your wealth, with the things you have. Jesus says in verse 9, I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. And what Jesus is saying is use wealth. Use wealth, which is typically tied up with all kinds of unrighteous things in this world, and we can name hundreds and thousands of ways money is used for wicked things. He's saying use unrighteous wealth to bless others. He's not saying go and make money in all kinds of unrighteous ways to bless others, but to use money that's typically used for unrighteous and selfish gain to bless others, to give it away. So that the end of the day, at the end of time, so when it fails, when it comes to the end, the people that you blessed, the people that come to faith, they'll thank you in eternity. They'll thank you in glory. Jesus is saying, don't use your wealth just for yourself, not just for today, but for kingdom purposes and for kingdom blessings, to support others in need, to support missionaries, to support ministries that spread the gospel, to help others even when no one else sees you helping others, to live with an energy, with a focusness, with a determination to be kind, to be compassionate, to be generous, with the hopes of seeing those whom you bless in glory. To see them in glory. Philip Ryken, he says in his commentary, he says of these friends we make with the unrighteous wealth of the world, he says, we will see them when we get to heaven, the victims of natural disaster, when we help them, sending them emergency relief. Members of distant tribes who heard the gospel through a missionary we supported or a Bible translation we funded. Sex addicts or drug addicts we saved through a ministry that we helped to start, or people across the country who came to faith through a radio broadcast program like Dr. Stanley, who passed away, is in glory, that we would help finance. People who would come to faith in church because we were generous in our offerings. Jesus is challenging us to live with an energy, with a focus that touches lives with kindness, compassion, and generosity beyond ourselves, thinking of glory, thinking of eternity. Some of us older folks know the old Ray Bolt song, maybe. Thank you for giving to the Lord. It's in the song, he says, I dreamed a dream, I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now, but then he said, wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you'd say a prayer before the class would start, and one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. And in the second verse in the song, he says, another man stood before you and said, remember the time a missionary came to your church and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway, and Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. So how can we tell if we're serving Christ or someone else? We consider life beyond today. We see the importance of glory in heaven. We've been blessed by having our sin debt completely removed because of the blood of Christ. And what he gives us, what we gain, we want to use for his kingdom and his purposes to bless others with the hope of seeing them in glory. That through our love, through our compassion, through our generosity, we live beyond today with an eye to glory, seeking to bless others all the way there with the hopes of seeing them in glory. And hearing those words, thank you. Thank you. Secondly, how can we tell if we're serving Christ or something else? We aspire to God-honoring grace and not selfish greed. In verse 10, Jesus says, one who's faithful in very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is saying little things matter. It's interesting that Jesus is talking about how we use our wealth as a little thing when most of us struggle with it. We're not to be ruled by wealth for selfish endeavors, but we are to roll over our wealth because of our love for Christ to seek how he would want us to best use it. Yes, he wants you to have stuff. Yes, wealth is not a bad thing. But he's saying whatever is ruling your heart will determine how you use your wealth, and it will reveal what rules your heart. Jesus says if you're faithful with the little, you'll be faithful with much. And again, if you're dishonest with little, you will be dishonest with much. How can you tell if you're serving Christ? You take whatever you have and whatever you do, and you desire to use it for God-honoring grace and not selfish greed. Money doesn't rule you, but God does, and he will give you wisdom to use what you have. He says you cannot serve God and money. The Greek word is mammon, and it means to refer to everything that we have, to everything we own. It's all the Lord's. He's the one who gives it. He's the one who can quickly take it away, but he's interested. He's interested in what we do with whatever we have. Philip Ryken, he says, if we don't master our money by using it for the glory of God, it will master us, and it will leave us bankrupt for eternity. Tony Evans, he tells a story. There was a girl named Maria. She had broken up with Jimmy. She told Jimmy she didn't want to be with him anymore. But after about a year of being broken up out of the blue, she wrote Jimmy a letter. She said, Jimmy, I miss you so bad. I think of you all day long, Jimmy. You dominate my mind, and I just don't want to be apart from you anymore. And Jimmy, let's reconnect. And then at the end of the letter, she writes, P.S., congratulations on winning the lottery. Her heart is being ruled by wealth. You cannot serve God and money. What you do with what you have, no matter what it is, how little, how great, will tell you who's ruling your heart. In Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in glory with all the angels, he will sit on his glorious throne. He will gather all the nations and separate them as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He'll place the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. The righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you this way? And he says, when you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it unto me. And he said to those left, depart from me, cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and you did not visit me. And they'll say, when did we see you this way? And he says, as truly as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. How can you tell if you're serving Christ or someone else? You aspire to God honoring grace and not selfish greed. Now, when we do these things, this these gracious works of compassion. You're not earning your salvation, but you're demonstrating that you possess salvation, that you've been transformed by the grace and mercy of God in Christ Jesus because of the debt sin being forgiven to you. You've been overwhelmed by the grace of Christ, and now you become an agent of grace. You're aspiring to God, honoring gracious living, and not trying to hold on to all of it for yourself. And lastly, if you're serving Christ, you'll desire godly success, not worldly success. Jesus closes here with the Pharisees. In verse 14, he says, "The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things, and they ridiculed Jesus. And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one dot of the law to become void. Everyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery.'" If you're serving Christ, your desire will be to please God and not yourself, not the world. The Pharisees who loved money, who loved to look good to the world, ridiculed Christ and his teachings, called him blasphemous, called him a fool. They were always trying to justify themselves in the sight of men, in the sight of the world. And Jesus says to them, "You men, what you think is good, what you think is righteous, what you think is pleasing is actually an abomination in the sight of God. It disgusts him. It repulses him." And it's a point of information that we all have to watch ourselves for. Our world, our society, and people who attend worship can think they are okay with God, that they have views and ideas of the world and how to live, and they think they're good and righteous. And Jesus says, you need to watch yourself, because what you think is pleasing to God might actually stink in his sight. And he calls it an abomination. Jesus says to them, "You're trying to exalt yourself, your efforts, your dreams, your glory, while all along there a gross stench in the nostrils of God." Jesus says the law and the prophets point to our need of forgiveness. They pointed to the fact that we were covenant breakers. They pointed to the fact that we needed a Savior, that we needed a sacrifice to deal with our unrighteousness. And the Pharisees and the world will always say, "No, no. God loves me just the way I am." Jesus says that's an abomination. Jesus says in verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone forces his way into it. Jesus is saying, everything is pointing to me. John proclaimed, here's the one the law and the prophets pointed to, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He must be Savior. He must be Lord. It's all Jesus. And when Jesus says everyone is forcing their way into the kingdom of God, it's like we have to shut out the world. We have to shut out our hearts that says we can do it ourselves. We're good in ourselves. We can trust in our own merits and works. We can do it ourselves. And Jesus says, no, you hold on to Christ, faith in Christ alone, and you quote unquote force your way into the kingdom. Because you're forcing yourself against what the world and everything in your heart tells you, that you have to totally rely on Christ alone, is what Jesus is saying. Not on your efforts, not on your own self-sufficiency. You trust in that thing where everybody else says, no, that's nonsense. You rest and on the grounds of Christ's righteousness and his cross and him alone. And we, quote unquote, force our way. Because we have to fight it. The world will say, no, it's whatever you believe, as long as you're sincere. No, you can believe in Christ, but you still have to do lots of good things to merit God's favor. It's Jesus is saying, no, The laws and the prophets pointed to our need of a Savior, pointed to our need of sacrifice. John the Baptist said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and the good news is being preached. You can have peace with God through Christ. And with all of our energy, with all of our focus, with all of our determination, we will rest in Christ alone, as the world says no. And we will serve Him all the days of our life. The world will say no, but whoever is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. As a follower of Christ, if you want to serve Christ, you will desire godly success. These Pharisees, these scribes, are supposed to be teachers of the law, lovers of the law, were making all kinds of man-made regulations, that they would take things like marriage and say, you know what, if your wife burns the dinner, divorce her. They would come up with all kinds of regulations at the time. Anything you want, just divorce her. And Jesus says, no. No. In the other Gospels, He gives the other reasons of why divorce is permissible. But here He's just saying, you guys live in such a way that you just exalt your own kingdom, your own glory, your own dreams and ambitions, exalting yourself. And Jesus says, no. You follow the ways of the law. You follow the ways of Christ, for they're the ways of love. They point us to our greatest need as we're trying to figure it out, as we're trying to live it through, our greatest need of a Savior. From an unknown poet, he says, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. We rest in Christ and Christ alone as we seek to live for Christ and Christ alone. Christ is challenging our motives. He's challenging our energy, our focus, while we prepare for glory. He's asking you and me, who are we really serving in life? Who guides our day-to-day decisions? What are our aims as we look to glory? Whom or what are you trusting in for life and death? May it be Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your convicting word, Your healing word, Your restoring word. And Lord, we pray that You give us ears to hear, ears to receive, hearts to be transformed. That our praise would be louder, that our lights would be brighter as we live in this world of darkness. Lord, that we would use whatever we have to be a blessing to others. Forgive us where we've fallen short in so many ways. And help us to be more and more like You. We pray these things in Your precious name. Amen.